wanting to say Advent after Epiphany. It is good to see you all. I have a couple of announcements for you. First, if you are visiting with us this morning, you'll see a green folder kind of in the middle of the pew in front of you. And inside is information about the church as well as a visitor's card that you can send, fill out and put in the offering plate when it comes by so that we have a chance to get to know you a bit better and communicate with you. You will also notice that the coffee was out here this morning. Part of that was for people are going, yes, that's a great place. Part of that is because of the annual meeting this morning. The other is coffee hour is going to migrate to the fireplace lounge so that in hopes that particularly between the services, there'll be coffee hour after both services, but particularly after the 9 o'clock service, that if it is closer to the way out, some more folks might stop to visit, and perhaps some folks from the second service might come a little earlier to visit so that we might connect between those two services. So hope that you will come a little earlier next week to enjoy some coffee beforehand in the fireplace lounge. Today after this service will be another social justice workshop from the Mission Committee. Nancy Wydell and Reverend Roger McDaniel will be talking about their experience at the border. And as always, they will serve lunch. So hope you will stay and join us. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introit.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Come out of the shadows and into God's light. We will not play hide and seek, but will make a pilgrimage to God's heart. Lay down all which is a burden to you. We will give our fears to God, who is our help in every moment. Follow the one who will lead you to new life. We long to live in God's presence every day of our lives.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to confession. If we come to God with open hearts and honest words, we will not be pushed away, but wrapped in God's loving and forgiving embrace. I invite you to join me as we confess our lives to God, praying. We admit, God, our light, that we do indeed try to tear Christ apart, a piece of him here to support our politics, a part of him to undergird our economic views, the rest of him to bolster our fears of others. We could leave immediately to follow him, but need to wait until we see where he might lead us. We want you to look upon us with favor always, but have no trouble turning our backs on those around us. Hear us, God, our deliverer, as we speak of our failures. Have mercy on us. We appeal to you. Have mercy. May your love become the core of our hearts. May your compassion become the words we speak. May your hope illuminate the ways in which we serve others, even as we seek to follow the one who calls us to new life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. The psalmist declares, God is our help. So why should we be afraid? God keeps us safe. There is nothing to dread. This is good news for all of us. Sheltered in God's gracious heart of mercy and love, we raise shouts of joy. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Amen. May mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share signs of peace with one another. Peace be with you.
Okay, there we go. That's better. Okay, so how are you guys today? Good deal. So I have a question for you. Do you both have a Bible?
I do.
You do? You don't? Yeah, Cece, where'd you get your Bible?
I got it in September 29th.
Wow, you even remember the date. Yes, September 29th, that was when we gave the Bibles to the third graders. So all of our third grade friends in Logos got a Bible from the church that day. Did you know that's not the only day we give out Bibles? No? So today, actually, Pastor Michelle is starting a class with some of the high school kids. It's called Confirmation Class. And they are going to receive a new Bible when they start that class because, let me show you, it's called a study Bible. So during this class, Pastor Michelle is going to help these high school kids learn more about the Bible and more about our church, the Presbyterian Church, why we do things the way we do and how we do things. So that's going to be a class that starts today, and they're going to meet for several weeks. And we are presenting, they will get a new Bible today as the class starts so that they can use it as a study Bible along with the program that they're going to learn from Pastor Michelle. So I wanted to show you that today, and so you know that this isn't the only time you're going to get a Bible from the church. When you're in third grade, you'll get that one. But then when you get older, there's more because we want to help. The church wants to help you grow in your faith and in your understanding. So these are the ways we help to support that. So let's say a prayer today. Thank God for being here as always, but also a prayer for these high school kids as they start this process and to learn more about themselves and more about the church, and that we pray that it all goes successful for them, okay? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for the love and grace and mercy you always show us. Help us to remember to show that to others as well. And Lord, thank you for the work that's done through the church. I pray for the kids that are going through the confirmation class, that they grow in their faith and understanding of your word and your love. And I pray that they all grow in wondrous ways. Amen.
Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the first reading today is from chapter 9 of Isaiah, and it reads as follows. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's writing to a Jewish Christian audience, and so he is constantly trying to make connections with the Old Testament. And I hope you will hear that in this morning's reading. Let us listen for God's word to us this day from Matthew chapter 4. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you're able and sing with me if you actually know this song from childhood. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. There's a few of you who know. You can sit back down. I remember that from childhood, and this week, you know, it was just one of those songs that when you read that text, come to mind. But did you see how I was fishing, you know, with a rod and a reel, which then means a hook and bait? I guess around here it's a fly rod and a lure, but I have no idea how you'd do that. But still, it's a hidden hook trying to catch that elusive fish. And when Jesus says to the fishermen, "I will make you fishers of people," we immediately begin to literalize that metaphor. Evangelism becomes a process in which we try to bait and hook individuals to join the church. What can we do? What program can we create that would attract people to become members? When we do that, evangelism is then about marketing and numbers and productivity. How many people can we get in the door? Now, that's not a bad conversation to have, but that's not evangelism. That's simply marketing. We hear this story and begin to assume that Jesus is calling us to a task that we have to accomplish, to catch people. Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John were not fishing for sport with a rod and a reel or a fly rod, but it was their livelihood. And like commercial fishermen of today, they used giant nets that were thrown out across the water and then hauled into the boat, hopefully full of fish. Hauling the net into the boat was not something that you could do all by yourself. Two sets of brothers in this story is not a coincidence. It required at least another person, if not another boat, working in partnership together to get the net full of fish into the boat. There's no bait, there's no hook, there's no attraction. But there is partnership. Fishing in the first century required relationships. Fishing for people in the first century or the 21st century also requires relationships. There's another misperception in this morning's text. We have an impression that these fishermen have no idea who Jesus is, and they just follow him blindly. But if we read the text closely, we see that Jesus had made his home in Capernaum by the sea. We don't know how long he'd been in town proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven has come near, that God's sovereign rule is coming on earth as it is in heaven. He may have walked by the Sea of Galilee every day for months, meeting the fishermen, buying their fish, listening to them and getting to know them, developing a friendship. Then one day, perhaps after many, many days, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he sees Simon Peter and Andrew fishing, working together to cast their net. And Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Not emissaries of the kingdom, or heralds of God, or even the first Christians, but rather fishers of people. All those other things may have been implied, or may eventually come to be, but what strikes me is that Jesus is calling these first disciples not into a task, but to an identity and a relationship. A relationship with himself and with one another and with all the people that they will meet over the next few years and throughout the rest of their lives. Simon Peter and Andrew leave their nets, their tools of productivity, what they are certain they know how to do, to follow Jesus into something unknown. James and John leave the nets they are mending, and their boat, and their father, the tools of their success, the place of certainty and security, the tradition of their family, a way of life that they have always known and relied upon, to follow Jesus. They turn away from their boats and toward the invitation that Jesus has issued. They leave behind what's familiar for a new way of thinking and being. That is the definition of repentance. Now, that's not usually how we think of repentance. We've put all these layers and layers and layers of guilt and shame. How terrible we are, that's connected to the act of repentance. But in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, the word for repentance means to physically turn, to change direction. In Greek, the language of the New Testament, it means to have a changed mind, heart, or way of thinking. That's exactly what those four fishermen do. They change direction. They physically get up and leave their boats. As they leave their nets and boats and even their father, they are leaving behind the container that holds what they have presumed to be true and the traditions that go with it, to begin a new way of life following Jesus. They have a change of mind. Now, there doesn't seem to be any shame or guilt involved, but there is a clear change of direction, a new way of thinking. So let's put ourselves in the place of Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. What boats might we need to leave behind? From what do we need to turn? What new mind do we need to receive? As individuals, you will have to discern that for yourself. But as a congregation, let me suggest a possibility. Let's start with how we think of evangelism. As mainline Presbyterians, we often talk about evangelism as though its purpose is simply to increase our membership. It's about attracting people to join us, like fishing with a rod and reel, with a baited hook. But last week, we heard that we are simply to tell our good news. Remember, having open eyes to see God's light and love at work around us, and then being willing to tell our good tale of that experience. That's what the people of God do. They tell their glad news. They sing their new songs so that all can hear. Sharing the goodness of God rather than keeping it to ourselves. What might it look like if we turned from the first definition of evangelism, being attracting people to become members, and embraced a new way of thinking, that evangelism is a relationship where we tell our story? Jesus calls us to follow him and to be in genuine relationships with the people around us. Sometimes that call, to be in Christ-shaped relationship with others, will take us far from home. And sometimes it will take shape in and among the persons right around us. But it will always involve people. Not simply a ministry or a program, but people. Jesus calls each of us, all of us, to follow him and be fishers of people. For our relationships with people to be the vehicle through which they come to know that the kingdom of God has come near. Drawing us into deeper Christ-shaped relationships with those God has placed in our lives, that is what it means to follow, to be a disciple and a fisher of people. It's not about marketing or numbers or programs. It's about relationships. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. May God give us the courage to turn and change direction and leave our boats to follow Jesus. And may the Spirit continue to renew our minds to think in new ways. Amen.